Our Father, we come to you again this day, and we thank you for the Word of God been taught in these premises in the last hour. And now we come to you again, Lord, and ask that you give us what is needed in this hour. We open this precious book, the Word of God, and dear Father, we approach it with reverence and understanding. No way to understand it without the Spirit of God, and thank thee that he abides in our hearts who have been born into the family of God. And not only he inspired to write it, but he desires to reveal it to those who desire to understand it. And we do that. And Lord, it's not just head knowledge, too much of that today. It's running the church. But there's a practical side that's more important. As a matter of fact, there's not really true head knowledge unless there's a practical side. When we learn and don't practice, then God's kingdom has no merit in it for others to want it. And dear Father, the world can do that. But we want to learn and practice so the world will know we have something that's different. And when they get in the valley of decisions and their hearts are hurting, and when the world turns upside down, they'll look towards those that have that which steadies them because their life are consistent in this life. And we thank you for that, Father. I pray for the power of God that's needed to deliver this message to help someone in this auditorium or by radio in a few minutes. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 3 with me. Read one verse of Scripture, then I want to go to Acts 4 and 2 Peter and so forth. And I hope that you're here to receive a blessing. I pray you've already asked God to bless you today from the Word of God. While you're looking, I heard an interesting story this past week of two elder couples. They've been married 65 years apiece. They were in their 80s. And they were having tea one day together, the wives were, and one of the elder ladies said, "You know, I've got a little problem with Herman today." Said, "Here in the last few months, he's began to chew his fingernails." And he said, "His finger's already in the quick just about, and I don't know what to do about it. I've tried everything I know to do, and I can't get him to stop chewing his fingernails." And the other lady said, "You know, I had that same problem about 8 months ago." She said, "You did?" She said, "Did you cure it?" She said, "I sure did." She said, "What did you do?" She said, "I hit his teeth." Well, I hope your mind is open today and God will give you understanding as we look at this subject. I want to speak to you about four things that God wants us to be. Four things that God wants us to be. And I believe with all my heart, these four things will manifest to this world what God wants to manifest through his people in the church. Here in John chapter 3, Jesus said in verse 7, "Marvel not that I say unto thee," that is, don't be astonished that I say unto thee, "ye must be born again." Marvel not that I say unto thee, "ye must be born again." If I look in Acts chapter 4, and down about verse 12, we're very familiar with this verse of Scripture where the writer says that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I also look in 2 Peter chapter 3 and 2 Peter chapter 3 and down about verse 9. It says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then in Romans chapter 12, and we know this by heart also, but turn there so you may look at it. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Paul said, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." In other words, God is so good. He's shown so much mercy. And he said, "I beseech." I'm not commanding you. I'm beseeching you by the mercies of God that you understand what God requires of us. And he goes on and said, "Present your body, that ye present your bodies." If he has your soul, and he would have that if he trusts Christ, but you present your, set with me, bodies. Said again, bodies. Present your what? Bodies. Notice what he said. A living sacrifice. And then he said, "Holy, accept unto God, which is your reasonable service." And then in verse 2 he said, "And be not conformed to this world." Be not conformed. Don't be fashioned like this world. There's a new creation in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on and he said, "But be ye transformed form. Transferred means be to change thoroughly the nature of, to change thoroughly the function of your life. Don't be conformed like the world, fashioned like the world, but be ye transformed. That is, you've got a new creation in Christ Jesus. We'll look at that a little bit later. He said, by the renewing of your mind. This transformation, salvation comes through trust in Christ as Savior. But the new creation is hid within, unless there's a transformation, and that's renewing of your mind. Why? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want to speak to you on four things that God wants us to be. They are this, and then we'll look at them individual. First of all, He wants every individual in humanity to be saved. I proved to you in verses, and I'm proving anything. I could prove more so He wants that, and you can prove they don't want it. And also, He wants us all to realize once we're saved, He wants us to be renewed. We have to be renewed because we brought a lot of garbage into this world of the new creation. There's a lot of things we learned through years in the old flesh that we brought over into the new creation. By the way, a lot of it's still there in a lot of us. But God said, be renewed. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. There's a renewal. You can't be renewed unless you're saved. And so He said, be saved, be renewed. Then He said, be refreshed. I love that. Be refreshed. In other words, be saved, be renewed, be fresh. And then, last of all, we see that He talks about be in control, 1 Corinthians. We'll look at that in just a few minutes. Be saved, be renewed, be freshed, be in control. He gives us that ability. None of that can happen unless you get saved, first of all. Why? First of all, you and I don't have the power nor capacity to do what He says do in being saved, being renewed, be refreshed, and be in control spiritually. We got to have His help. And you can't get His help unless you trust Christ as your personal Savior. So what is God doing? God wants us to be saved, be renewed, be refreshed, and be in control. When we allow our minds to conform to this world, we forsake the standard that God has established for us. And this leads us to what Jeremiah said about Israel in Jeremiah chapter 2 and look down about verse 13. God said, for my people have committed two evils. Israel would say, what have we done? Lord, have we not? No, but God says, my people, Israel, have committed two evils. And He lists them. They have forsaken me, the fountains of living waters, and have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. They're acting like cisterns, but they have no water. They're acting like cisterns, but they have no substance. They're acting like cisterns, but you will let me make you the cistern that you should be. Then you will hold waters in turn which the world who's thirsty will want to come to and receive. They'll know nothing else in this world, including religion, can give them what God offers because He's satisfied. So here, when we allow our minds to be conformed to this world, we forsake the standard that God has established for us. And He said that's where Israel was. When we forsake His standards, we start making our own cisterns. That means we start doing what we think God ought to be pleased with because we're who we are. By the way, God is never pleased with us by whom we are. He's pleased with us by who He makes us in His Son. And it's so important to see that. But we're losing that in our day. I'm amazed how much Christianity has changed in the last 40 years, 30 to 40 years, compared to what it was when I was a boy. I was not saved as a boy, but I saw the difference in a man who said he was saved and a woman who said they were saved and a man and woman who were not saved. But I'll tell you this, walk the streets today, see if you can tell the difference. You can tell somebody, somebody says, I'm a Christian. You look at him and say, well, I never thought that. They ought to have thought that before he ever said, I'm a Christian. But something has changed. Something has changed, you see. Sin for practice come because of choices. And then choices in that practice. Finally, the character and core of who you really are. When we began to make choices, then they had to do with sinful practices. And the final act of that, the final result of that, is the character and the core people will see of who we really are. When you allow someone to completely control you, you begin to take on their mannerism. If you allow the world to still control you after you're saved, you will never pick up godliness. You'll just show worldly mannerism. Well, we have to understand, We are not like the world. But we fail to see that as Christians. It is of God. If it is of God, then you see God being blessed, and you see Him bless His people. If it's of God, it will be to our good. If it is not of God, people head into disaster. Some people may have it good now, but you head into disaster. You leave God out, and you won't win. You won't win. You can't win. God holds His own in His hand in the sense of what He says. He must keep those truths. I can't win if I leave them out. Again, their speech, their attitude, until you are fully occupied with what they are. And that's the reason God teaches us that we'll study this book and teaches us to come out from the world and be separated. Again, have you ever did something that when you did it, you knew it wasn't you that was within? You know it had to come from somewhere else, and suddenly you look at it and the mannerism came from something that was not you. If you're saved, you have. You said, you know, I know better than that. I don't know why I did that. And sometimes you have to say, I'm sorry, simply because you know you are a Christian. And sometimes you will say, I'm sorry, even if you're right. Why? Because Christians become peacemakers. It's easy for the child of God to say, sorry, son, I'm sorry, even when you're right. Because God would use that to bring about peacemaking. You express something that came from an association with someone rather than from within you due to the new nature, new creation in Christ Jesus. You knew that that wasn't what God would have. You conformed to someone that did not represent your inner life. When I look over here in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, I see he said, be not conformed. The prefix C-O-N, con, means simply this. It means with or together. When you add to that Latin verb meaning to form or convey, the expression be not conformed simply says for. It's the idea of expressing a pattern after someone. If it's after God, or is it after this world? Be not conformed to this world. Do not pattern your life after this world. If you're going to pattern it in the transformation, pattern your life after what God says for us to do. You conform to someone that did not represent your inner life. And when you do that, then suddenly you're bringing something into the Christian life which is not, should not be there. And all of us have done that in our Christian experience sometime or another. Again, the idea of expressing a pattern after someone. When you are not connected to Christ, you will assume the world's disposition, and then you will be literally conformed to this world's behavior and standards. But on the other hand, we can look at what God has said we are supposed to be. And the world may say, I'm sorry, to get advantage on someone. But the child of God says, I'm sorry, because they realize God is working in the heart. And you're not trying to get advantage. You're trying to be humble. And you know God will honor that. And Jesus calls those people peacemakers. Now, let me give you four things that God will want us to be. He wants us first to be saved. We know that. I read a number of verses of that already. He wants us to be saved. Now, I'll give you some verses and leave it. John 3:7. Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Acts 4:12. We read, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is another name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. 1 Timothy 2:4. Who would have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is long-suffering to us for it, not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. John 3:16. We know that by heart. God gave His only begotten Son. You know the record of that. So there's no need to go any further. If you're here and you're not saved this morning, God wants you to be saved. He did everything He could. He sent His precious jewel from heaven, His only begotten Son. He went to Calvary and died. He was buried. He rose again the third day so you could be justified. The only thing that's keeping you from not knowing Him as your Savior is simply you will not believe the record that God gave of His Son. 1 John 5. The second thing I want you to notice, after He wants us to be saved, is simply this. God wants us to be renewed. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, He said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's very, very, very important. Before salvation, we had the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. That ruled us. after salvation, we have to work on that with God's help. And he don't help us to do it by ourselves. After salvation, I can say, ladies and gentlemen, so can you say. We can say to the devil that I don't need you anymore. Now, there's a time he made us think we did need him. He didn't come to us as the devil, but he came to us in a way to make us think we really needed him. But now when Christ moves in, we can say to that lying rascal, by the way, he is a liar. We can say, I don't need you anymore. There was a time, devil, when I tried to copy you. There's a time when I followed you. There's a time I followed the world because you in the world, and I just thought it fit the flesh so good it could be all bad. And now I see in the light of Christ and the darkness of the world which you're in, there's a time I tried to copy you, but now I am in Christ. Now that's the difference. Each of us is an original. And in Christ we belong to Him. God does not work through conformity. God works as He looks for transformation. To transform us, to change us thoroughly from where we were into something that He has talked about in His Word. You see, when we move into the family of God, here we step into an era called the I Amness. Jesus said, or God said to Moses, you tell those Israelites, I am sent you. Well, we're part of that I am. In other words, we step into the I am-ness that who God Himself is and give us the ability to say these words in certain things. For instance, I can say today, right now, I am a child of God in Christ Jesus. What is it about? Because I trusted Him September 27, 1959, and I never got over it. And I don't care that much about the world now. When I was younger, I might have, but now the world, as Brother King said, it's fleeing now compared to what it was at one time. I am going to be faithful. I am not going to serve Satan anymore, knowingly. I am going to walk by faith. I am going to be what God wants me to be. I am going to overcome my obstacles. I am winning in Christ Jesus, no matter what the circumstances are. I've stepped into that era of I am-ness. God says, I command you. But Paul says, by God's grace beseeches us. He didn't say here, I command you, brethren. He said, I beseech you. Why? You understand the goodness of God. You understand the grace of God. You understand what God has done for you. I beseech you because of what you know, that you see you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You don't command God's people who loves Him. He can beseech them and tear your heart out. And you want to do what He says because He does love you. And He teaches us to love Him also. I beseech you. The mind knows. It denotes the faculty of knowing, the seat of understanding, reasoning, thinking, purpose, and counseling. To renew is the adjustment of the moral and spiritual vision from God to thinking about the things of God and not the things of this world. How much during the day do you think of the things of God, or do you think mostly the things of the world? It'll tell you where you're at. The word transformed means to change into another form thoroughly. To change appearance thoroughly. So you can see the difference in that. This starts in the mind. Our connection to God is based on faith, not reason. The conflict is not between faith and reason. The conflict is between faith and sight, which faith gives the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. This world can't see what you see through faith. It can only see what's around it. But we're lured into a confused valley thinking that because of where we're at and things are going fairly well, God must be pleased. And there come a time He says, I give you long enough to listen. You won't listen. So I have to step in and get you to know I'm holy. I'm righteous. And I cannot allow those things that are against me, because I'm the authority, and I will step in when the time comes. God wants us to be saved. God wants us to be renewed. Number three, God wants us to be refreshed. If you look in John chapter 8, verse 32, He says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, down about verse 18, I like this. Paul says, "For they have refreshed my spirit." Now he's speaking about Stephanus and Fortunus and Achaicus, who had picked up and furnished a lacking that they had not given at this time in verse 17. He said that for that which was, I'm glad of the coming of these three, for that which was lacking of your part they have supplied. He said, for they have refreshed my spirit. Boy, I've seen that so many times. They refreshed my spirit and yours. The fact that they did what you did not do, they refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. Don't forget to mention those who bring about the refreshing part. They are conforming, they're transforming, not conforming to the world. What's that? They have an inner ear, inner sight that others did not have. Jesus reversed the natural order that exists in the secular world and the secular world and the spiritual world. In this world, they look at the first being first and being last. But in God's world, He looks at the last is first. In God's world, He looks at the least is greatest. That's not what we measure people, do we? You don't generally measure someone to be great if they're the least in society. But God says when it comes to His kingdom, the least will be manifested as the greatest. In His world, the humble finds grace. In His world, humility is the pathway to His freedom. Worship is the expression of that freedom. In God's world, you combine humility with love and you will forget your ego. You combine humility with love and you forget your pride. You combine humility with love and you will do what God requires you to do. I will do what God requires me to do if I combine humility with love, and that has to do with God's love. So I see God says that He wants me to be saved. He wants me to be renewed. He wants me to be refreshed. And then the last one, sometimes we say, well, thank God He wants me to be saved, I'm saved. Thank God He wants to be renewed, I'm trying to be renewed. And thank God He wants to be refreshed. Boy, I love what it is to be refreshed. I'll tell you, yeah, I was in this station the other day, that one of them hot days, it was hot. What was it, 105 or 6 degrees? And we come out of a place, and all of a sudden we got just right where the wind was blowing, but it was blowing in a channel between houses or something. And you know how it is, if it's blowing generally, you feel a little bit, but if it funnels between a house and comes out, you ever felt that? You ever been in a tobacco patch, carpet tobacco, and raised up, and all of a sudden God has sent a breeze over? You say He did it to people in the tobacco patch? Sure He did. He's faithful to the just and unjust. Amen. There's nothing in this world felt any better than that and a cool drink of water. Well, that's the same thing here. God's combined His humility with love, and you forget that which makes you proud. And you say, God, please give me some insight here to see what you see. God, I could do something here and I could set things in a ray, but God, you've got to show me what to do. You can't pastor a church unless you learn to do that. And by the way, the wife and the pastor has to get together and pray about a lot of things that you have to deal with. Because you can't do it by yourself. You need the Holy Spirit, but you need your wife too. If you're going to try to pastor a church. By the way, you need your wife if you're going to try to teach class. Especially adults. These things are very important in life, but we belittle them sometimes. Now, sometimes people have physical problems. That's the thing. You can't, we can very easily understand that. But I'm saying you got to have, listen, you know as good as I do, no way in this world I could pastor this church if I didn't have a wife like I had. No way I could do it. No way I could do it. There's just too much going on. We got to be on the same plane. We got to be on the same level. We got to have concern for the same hurtings of people. It's got to be that way. So God said, I want you to be in control. Now, we see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Turn back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 And look with me in verse 27. Now, I'll guarantee if a person loves God and wants God's will, this message will be a blessing. If one's going to just abandon everything, I'm going to have problems with a person who don't see what I'm saying. And I have to take it. I prayed about this for weeks. I've been working on this message for at least 2 months. And I'm saying to you, we got to look at where we're at and ask God to help us evaluate things in our lives to be where He wants us to be. Now, if you look in chapter 9, verse 27, Paul said, "But I keep under my body and bring it in subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." What an amazing verse of Scripture. I have to bring things into subjection, unless when I stand to preach the Word of God, I become something other than what God wants me to be. See, the old man had been corrupt by sin. The old mind, it's negative thinking and rejection. It does not need a little change here and there. The old mind needs a total overhaul. It needs a new mind, which is a new way of life. Would you not agree that the Bible says that all things have passed away, and behold, all things become new? Would you at least let me know, shake your foot or something at me, that's Bible? That the Bible says, again, all things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Would you not agree with that if you're saved?
Amen.
You know it's Bible. Then let me ask you a question. Why would God want to save us out of something and then let us go right back into that and enjoy it when He took us out of it? Don't make sense. It does not make sense. By the way, it don't make sense with God either. But we live in an age that people don't care where it makes sense with God, as long as it makes sense with them. And it's heading them in a direction away from God. And they don't even see it. They're building their systems that's cracked and leaking, rather than letting God build it to understand what is going on. There is a difference in having the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit having you and me. Now, I have to understand this. I want to say something next few minutes that may get some not to understand. You go out, but I hope I can get it across, because this is an error. And when you begin to explain, if you're not very careful, someone can misread, because it looks like you make Christ less than who He is. And that's not my intention. I believe that Jesus Christ is equal, co-equal with God. I believe He's God. I believe it's God in the flesh. But ladies and gentlemen, when He chose to come to this earth as God in the flesh, He automatically limited Himself on some things. One thing, He was not omnipresent. He could only be localized where He was at in a body of flesh. That in itself says He laid some things aside. It did never change His wholeness. Did never change Him as who He is, as God in the flesh, but He did lay some things aside. When the Holy Spirit has us, we allow the same thing. Jesus expressed God through His character and His nature. And when we have His nature, the Holy Spirit helps us to do the same thing. We express God through His character, even though it may be limited to some degree, and His nature. Now, God has an expression. Follow me, I'm going to go slowly here. God has an expression. And that expression is in the form of expression, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ. When God allowed His expression to be seen in a form of a man, then some things took place there that could not take place as God, a spirit. You could not kill God. No one in creation could kill God. God cannot die. No one in creation can make God die. But God can become a man. And as a man clothed in his mother's womb with flesh, the mother called Mary, God could come and give His life through death. As a man. He can't do it as God. Because God is omnipresent. But as a man clothed in flesh, He could. That's how much he loved us. That's how much he cared for us. Now, Jesus and God are same in reality. But Jesus, the form, is not identical with God in his deity, because in his deity you can't eliminate anything. Yet he's still holy, he's still righteous, he's everything God is, but it's clothed in flesh. But in his deity, he'd be omnipresent. But in a flesh, Jesus is going to be where he's at when he's at that place. Even though Jesus is equal expression of God, it's obvious you could see Jesus when he was here, but you could not see God with the same eyes, because he's a spirit. John 4 teaches us that. So when we see what God the Son did, so we could be called children of God, you'll understand why he says you need to put on the new man. He loved you so much in this life. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. No, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Look down verse 1, 2, and 3. I'm going to prove what I just said to you. So I'm going to say, well, a preacher said Jesus didn't have his deity. Yes, he was God in the flesh. I'm telling you, though, there's a form here now. You see, when you look at Christ, you see the express image. You see the expression form of God in flesh. And he limited himself. Where he cannot die, now he can die. Where he cannot be, where he could be omnipresent, now he cannot be omnipresent. Because he has brought himself to us in a body of flesh so we can see him as a man. So he can do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. In chapter 11, be ye followers of me, even as I also of Christ, Paul said, for now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinance as I deliver them unto you. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Wait a minute. Christ is co-equal with God. But watch this. Where he could set co-equal in the spiritual world as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, when he came through the mother of Mary's womb and clothed himself in the dressing room of her womb in flesh. When he came to this earth at that particular time. Now, he's looking not to himself as God. He's looking to himself as Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Am I not right so far? All right, as the Son of God. Now, he doesn't pray to God as his God in now. He prays to God as his Father. Showing he took a lesser place where we're at to bring us to a higher place that we cannot bring ourselves. Let me show you. God gave this to me last night while I was studying this. You can't see it here as much as I can see it in the darkness. But if I would take this light, and I'm going to show you, you have no trouble seeing the light, do you? But if we's in a dark room, you couldn't see the light now. But I'll tell you this, you see the light, you have no trouble seeing the fire. Let me put it this way. If it's in a dark room and I do this, you can't see the fire. But I know this, you see light way out here. I did it last night. Go home, try it. You see light. So if you couldn't see the fire, but you saw the light, you know that the light is not the fire. There's something greater than the light. The light can't produce itself. The fire produces the light. Also, I'll tell you this. When I do this, that not only put out light, it puts out heat. And it's getting warm in my hand right now. So I can feel the warmth. But the warmth is not the fire. What I want you to see is an illustration that I'm trying to get across to you. How much God loved us. I don't believe any of us understand how much he loved us. Because we don't care sometimes the way we present ourselves to this world. We're selfish. Bless God, it don't do nothing for me. Therefore, if it don't bother me, why should I worry about anyone else? If you're saved, it should worry you if it offends anybody how you dress. I'm trying to show you something that the old timers used to preach and teach, and only how in the last few years have we changed because society wanted to change. And hear this light. And I say to you, the light from the fire is not the fire. You could see the light. If it's dark, it's not the fire. The warmth from this fire is not the fire. The fire is giving off expressions of heat and light. Now here's the thing. When you see the heat and you feel the heat and you see the light, you know this. There is something much more greater than the heat and the light, and that's the fire. The Bible talks about the Holy Spirit being like fire. And I say to you, when I see Jesus Christ coming and begin to understand, oh, Holy Spirit, thank you for helping me understand what He's done. Maybe that's because I feel what I feel, and many won't listen because I see it greater, greater. When I see Jesus Christ, I know there's something greater beyond because of who He is. There's more to Jesus Christ than just His form and His expression in flesh. There's more to Him. There's more to Him than just seeing Him come in body in the body of flesh. There's more to Him than just what the world sees. Because they can only see the form of expression that God has given us in the flesh. What are you saying, preacher? You say, preacher, I believe I got it. I believe I understand that. Preacher, I can cry amen to that and have no problem whatsoever. Then let me ask you something. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're saved, there's more to Christianity than just being saved. There's more to it than just being saved. The Bible says that He is Lord in Philippians 2:11. The Word of God became flesh in form of a servant. Philippians 2:8. Been found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. His humanity was genuine, yet He was still divine. The fullness of God was in Christ from His incarnation. Jesus is God in the flesh, the form of God. Jesus as a man is different than what He was in the sense of His deity in heaven as a spirit. But He's no less God. He chose. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, if He did not experience what we experience, how can He deliver us from what we've been experienced to? If He did not face what we face, how can He deliver us from what we face? He can deliver us. Why? Because He's faced it as a man. Someone says, well, God could face anything. Sure, He could. But Jesus faced it as a man. Well, if I was God, I wouldn't worry about it as much because God sees then. He still faced it as a man. He suffered for you as a man. A pure, pure, godly, separated sacrifice. So we might have life. When Jesus came to this earth in the incarnation, He gave up the expression of being equal with God. But He didn't give up His godliness. You say, wait a minute, preacher, what do you mean? I mean, simply may I remind you again, equal with God, He could be omnipresent anywhere. But on earth, He could only be where He was at locally. He had to walk where He went. Now, He might move faster than us sometimes if He wanted to, because He certainly had the speed of thought. But He went and was localized. When you saw Him, you could see Him. When you didn't see Him, when He wasn't there, you didn't see Him. He localized Himself. And when Jesus came to this earth in the incarnation, He gave up the expression of being equal with God, but not His godliness. That is, in the eras He had to be, it wasn't that He wasn't equal with God in reality, because He still is. But He took a position. Here God is Jesus' Father, rather than throwing Himself. The role playing, He's Jesus' Father, rather than being equal with God. And He prayed to Him as His Father. The only place you find is he called him his God when he died on the cross. He didn't say, my Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I say to you, after Jesus ascended to the lowest depths of humiliation, God exalted him to the highest place of eternity. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, wherefore God has highly exalted him. He didn't say he exalted himself. He in humility went to the lowest place. And when he had paid the price, God exalted him highly, exalted him and gave him a name above which is every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, all things in heaven, all things in earth, things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. I'm saying to you, what a difference it makes when you see things as they really are. You cannot kill God. But you let him become a man. And he could give up his own life in death for sin as the supreme sacrifice. God used the virgin birth as the method that Christ was born so he could remain sinless as a man and be the sacrifice of sin. Why? So these four things could happen. So we could be saved. So we could be renewed. So we could be refreshed. And so we could be in control. He's given us the power to bring this body into subjection. It can be done. But we have brought so much with us into Christianity. We're living by a standard that he's freed us from. If the Son make you free, you shall be free indeed. When we need to be looking at his standard and saying, God, help me grow in Christian maturity. As I first have responded to being saved, now help me be renewed. That I would be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And help me be refreshed because I understand what Jesus did a little bit. Help me feel the refreshing to know that God has given me a message that I've got to get out. I've got to tell someone, but in humility, not with arrogance. And help me understand if the message is going to be able to be seen. There's got to be some control. We'll never walk perfect. Hey, you just watch me. Hey, just watch me. You won't see a perfection in flesh. I have a lot of problems, so do you. But by the way, I do the same for you. But I know this, there's something inside that will work right in your heart if this thing's not right, and it's God. And that's when he keeps us together. Someone said to the, I don't see how in the world you people can talk about you being bride of Christ. Looks like you've got a lot of brides. And what do you mean? Well, because everybody trusted Christ as a bride, so he's got you get to heaven, you're going to have a million brides. Ain't that foolish? He only has one bride. We make up that bride. I'm part of that bride. I'm part of the bride of Christ. It is the church that's the bride, and we're part of the church. That's his body. But they didn't understand that. They thought all of us were going to be, everyone of them, he's a bride, she's a bride. If you're saved, you've got a million plus brides on the other side. No, there's only one bride, it's the church, and we make up the church. He's placed us in the church. So therefore, we're needed. We need it. God forbid that I'd be something that would try my, misuse my position to harm the body of Christ. God forbid that. And whether I like it or don't like it, there's things in this book I don't like, but I have to preach. There's things in this book I have to correct in my life before I can ever preach it. Because if you can't get along with God and do something unless you've got yourself right to start with. Can't do that. Well, thing God wants you to do this morning, he wants you to be saved. First of all, if you're not saved. Secondly, he wants you to be renewed. If you are saved, he wants you to be refreshed. And he wants you to be in control. And he wants you to know, listen, I will help you all the way. I didn't save you and throw you out there and say, make it by yourself. I want you to know, I will never leave you forsaken. I'll be right there. You can trust me. You can focus on me. I'll bring you through if you'll let me. Amen. My Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for my heart. For the study of something I needed so much in my life. I don't have any trouble about being saved. But the renew and the refresh and control, I have to work on that. Please help your people. Let them see how much you love them and how a pastor loves his people when he shows us all in the body of Christ rowing in the same direction. I need the strength of this body. We need the strength of each other. In our day, to reach our world for Christ. Please let this be a place where we come together and say, Lord, Help me get rid of anything that's brought over in my Christian life by renewing my mind, been transformed thoroughly, changed, not conforming pattern like it's so easy to do. Sometimes I may do it because I just don't know no difference. I hadn't learned anything from the Word of God much. I just don't know that much difference. I know this, Lord. You know what? We got 47 years down through the years and face the things you have to face and go through what you have to go through without learning something. And I know this, you'll honor your word. In the face of my enemies, you will honor your word. You said your word not return unto you void. I claim that promise. And I pray that these people will see, and many who listen to my radio in a few minutes, our church has a love of God in it. And our desire is to reach people for Christ and then grow in the body of Christ in Christian maturity. If there's any way possible for us to be like the book of Acts, or in the book of Acts at Antioch, when the world said, those people look like Christians because they're following Christ, please let it be here. Thank you for the love. Thank you for the heart. Thank you for the hard workers. Lord, for the staff we had and what's going on, it's amazing to me what God is doing through us. But help us understand it's for you because you loved us. You taught us how to love you. Help us reach our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria. And then through our mission program, to the most parts of the world for your sake. Help our lives count. Sure, we'll be mocked. I get mocked every week. I get calls. I get letters. I get things, Lord, that's just unbelievable because someone takes me at task on something I preach or say or do. Any child of God who does anything for the Lord, then I thank you, Lord, for the good things I get too. I thank you, Lord, for those who write and are blessing, who call and are blessing. Help me be that way too for your people. Help me guard this pulpit that it will present the Word of God with authority, not mine, but God's. The Word be taught here with a loving heart, that you love the people that you preach to. Please help us, Lord, not be like the world. Help us be different because of you. In Jesus' name we pray.